Here's Jeff Allen.
All right, now, many of you may have been in this situation. I never have, so I don't know. But the deal is the way it is with the employment insurance system. And remember that it's, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, employment insurance is taxpayer money and it's you know, something we all pay into. Well, that's not true. If you work on your own, you know that you can pay into it or not pay into it. A lot of companies make it mandatory, whatever, but it is really a private insurance plan. Now, the rules are, apparently, that no matter how many children you adopt or how many children are born at one time, you're supposed to get, as I understand it, 35 weeks of paid parental benefits. Okay, so if someone has, as I understand it, a child a year apart, well, then that's different. Now, let me get the story from the one half of the couple that has encountered some trouble with employment insurance. Christian Martin is with us. Hi, Christian.
Hello.
How is, what, can you tell us basically what the situation is for you and your other half? I mean, you were awarded the benefits that you requested, and then I guess now an arbitrator said no. Can you explain the situation to us?
Yes, that's correct. We won our case. Basically, I applied for EI just like any other parent. I applied for one of my children. I had twins in April 2009, and I knew I was going to get denied. They had explained to me that they award benefits based on pregnancy, which I thought was rather odd and very unfair and, in fact, discriminatory. But so I applied, got denied, and then I brought the case to a board of referees, and then I was able to convince them that my interpretation of the EI Act was correct and that the EI Commission's interpretation was wrong. And then the government appealed that, and the second round just went around, and the umpire agreed with the EI Commission this time. And so, therefore, I'm not entitled to 35 weeks of parental benefits.
Now, what you're looking for is benefits for yourself and your spouse, right? I mean, so the two of you can be off one right after another, or you split the time?
It was basically the parental benefits are to care for newborn or newly adopted children. You
right.
have to take the benefit within a year
okay.
after the child comes into your care.
Right.
So you can't just tack it on. You know, if you had five kids, you wouldn't be able to tack it on forever. You actually, the maximum benefit per claimant is 35 weeks, and I never disputed that. Basically, what I did was my wife and I, it was a surprise when we were having twins. We planned on having children, but we didn't plan on having twins. And then we live in Ottawa. We don't have any family in the area. She would have been alone caring for two newborn babies because I would have been going to work and trying to sleep at night to be functional during the day. And that was, I thought that was way too much to ask of anyone. So I was able to take the time off and help her out during those first few months. It was the right thing to do. Now, we took a big financial hit because unlike other parents that can get 35 weeks of benefits to care for their child, I didn't get anything. But and that's why I'm fighting. But it was a good experience to be home with my children, but it was really hard. I mean, caring for two newborn children at once is quite something. And I can just barely imagine what it's like to have triplets. It must be insane.
To clear on this, though, so you didn't get any benefits at all, but did your wife?
That's correct. Yes,
okay.
She did. She got benefits because
yeah.
basically, as employees, we each pay into the system. Everybody that pays into the system is an EI policyholder. It's
right.
insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So every claimant can get the same benefits as any other claimant. Now, the way they got around that in my case is for some reason they feel I'm not entitled, but they said, well, we only give 35 weeks of parental benefits per pregnancy. Well, the pregnancy has actually very little to do with caring for a newborn child. And in fact, you can have a pregnancy that leads to a stillborn child. You can have a pregnancy that leads to a child being given up in adoption to another person. You can have a case where you have the child, but you have you decide to go on vacation and leave the child with the grandma. And but in those cases, they don't actually award you the 35 weeks, rightly so, because you're not caring for the child. So there's a big double standard here, and it's used to prevent people in my situation to not get benefits. And when I'm just as much of a, you know, I paid my premiums, and I should have a right to the same benefits as anyone else.
I think there's a reference. I'm not sure where I saw it, but parents of children born in a year apart are entitled to two 35-week benefit periods, right?
That's correct, because it's two pregnancies. And even you could even have it at the same time. Let's just say you had, this is not, you know, a common thing, but if you had a lesbian couple, for instance, and they wanted to have children at the same time, they could each get pregnant and both get 35 weeks. So, and if you have in my umpire ruling, the umpire said that if you had one pregnancy and one adoption at the same time, so let's just say you're having a hard time conceiving, and then you have you adopt, and then the adoption is coming at some point in the future, and then in the meantime you get pregnant. If those two things happen at the same time, in that situation you would both be entitled to 35 weeks. But if you have them in the same pregnancy, you don't. And it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But that's what the EI Commission is fighting for.
Okay, so what lies ahead for you? Are you appealing again?
Yeah, we're appealing to the Federal Court of Appeal, and you know, it's a slow process. It's been 2.5 years already, and it's going to take probably another couple of years for this stage. I'm hoping that the Federal Court of Appeal can see things the way that the Board of Referees saw it, the first level of appeal, rather than the umpire at the second level of appeal. And you know, I'm doing this for you know, not just myself, but all parents of multiples out there who are faced with difficult situations, and I want them to have the same opportunity to care for their children as other parents that have children one at a time. You can get benefits 10 times over the course of your life if you have one child at a time and go back to work 6 months in between. But for some reason, when you have them at once, you're denied the same opportunity to get those benefits as anyone else. It's unfair.
Okay. Well, Christian, thank you very much. And let me get back to you. Maybe down the road we can check in on how this is going. Good luck with your case. And I wish you well. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Okay. Christian Martin is one half of a couple that had twins. They felt that they should be getting double benefit. Not double benefits, but benefits each. Okay, I shouldn't put it that way, all right? Some of you may say, you know what, I wish we had that. Others will say, come on, you know, toughen up, man, we did it. And you know, but at the same time, let me say this, like my mom had, there's only a year and a half between my brothers and I. So 3 years between the three of us, basically. That must have been a load. That must have been like having triplets, because for like, you know, 6 years, there was nothing but diapers. I mean, I'm just, the kind you used to wash, by the way. And I'm just saying that, you know, can it be any less or more of a load to take care of two kids at once, or one kid that comes along, you know, less than a year later? You know, so now you've got two infants, and that's all there is to it, and you're getting double. I can see their point, but then again, maybe you don't. We're going to ask Andrea Morozik, manager of research with the Institute of Marriage and Family, what she thinks about this. And then I want to ask you, should parents who have twins get twice the parental benefits? Yes or no? We'll be back in a moment with my guest on 570 News. Andrea Morozik is the manager of research with the Institute of Marriage and Family, and she joins me now. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Well, what do you think about this case?
Well, I was just going to say that if you're looking, you said you don't know, if you're looking to me for a definitive answer, unfortunately, you're not going to get it this morning. I think that this case leaves more questions than answers, and quite frankly, I can certainly see both sides of the equation. Some of the questions I see it raising are, you've already raised some of them. Others include, for example, if there was a a single mom, could she take up to 70 weeks? It gets into the question of if you have quadruplets or quintuplets, can you multiply by five?
Mm-hmm.
And then questions around, and this exists for our system right now, people who are self-employed can't afford to take any time off at all. Or rather, they have to be very, very judicious about how they do it, because if they take time off, then their business could conceivably cease to exist. So certainly it's a question. I can see both sides, because if you have those benefits, as you described, for children who are born 1 year apart, and you could keep claiming that, and that would be entirely fair, and we all acknowledge how much work twins are as compared with just having one newborn baby. It really, really is a tough situation, and I think that if the government is pressed, they'll probably not allow it to go forward. That would be my guess, only because of the many, many multiple variations of things that then can happen and people can be claiming more and more benefits. I think it's important to remember these benefits aren't free. We pay into them, but the government pays them out. So they aren't free, and again, self-employed people don't really get them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so what you're suggesting is, and I would agree, is the government doesn't want to set a precedent here. And yeah, like, okay, so now you've had the octagon mom, you know, or something. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, we're going to pay her for the next 15 years.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You know, times eight, you know, so it just can't happen. Yeah, but, you know, the one thing I was thinking about, though, you know, on the upside of this, and really, I can't, I'm just, you know, we're always talking about we have to replace ourselves with our, like, negative population growth with immigration. Now, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think a little homegrown new Canadians isn't a bad thing either. And when I think about it, the most anyone can get in about 35 weeks is about $12,250.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying, you know, now if that produces a new taxpayer in their lifetime, they're going to contribute $500,000 and up into our system, and they're going to help sustain our CCP and our old age pension and everything else. I don't know if that's such a bad investment.
Yeah, that's a good point, and we ought to be thinking about this. I like the way that you've drawn this out to the bigger picture. We do have a situation in Canada of demographic decline, and for that reason, obviously, we should be helping parents to be able to thrive, and we should be making the climate in Canada such that having kids is something that people want to do. Now, that's not by government mandate, I would hasten to add.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly we want a culture and a climate in Canada where people are happy to have kids and where it is not extraordinarily difficult to do so. So you raise a very good point on that, but I would still say that worrying about the level of government dependence that we have in our country is something to balance with what you've just said.
Yeah.
So yes, we ought to support families, and yes, we ought to be making it so that families can live not, you know, easily, but with relative, not under duress. But I think it's a valid question and an important long-term question to ask. And since we're not politicians, we can ask the long-term
question. Sure, we can.
Around how much do we want to depend on government, and how much should we be working toward creating communities? The problem goes, if we want to broaden out to a bigger question as well, is this family, these particular parents, had no family where they lived. And I know that the mother said she would have to have her mom come in from Newfoundland. That is something most Canadians can relate to. I don't have any family where I live. We move around a lot. This is something that weakens our communities. When it comes time to having children, you realize, my goodness, it would be really helpful to have your sister, your parents, somebody around who can help. These are big questions to ask, and it's something that government probably can't solve.
Mm-hmm. Well, Andrea, I thank you as always for your time and for your point of view on this. And so we ought to get some lively discussion going after the news break. I thank you so much. Until next time, listen, you have a great week.
Yeah, have a great day. Thanks.
Okay, bye now. Andrea Morozik is the manager of research with the Institute of Marriage and Family.